All right, Woody, thank you so much. So OTAs, mini camps, all over. 6 week break. Get healthy and get yourself ready to go. Know what you're supposed to do when you get ready for late July to get back into action. Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fins and A to Z Sports, NFL analyst. I watched a podcast this morning. Boy, a nice breakdown of things that they look pretty good at and things to be concerned about. Not really concerned, just waiting to see if they can develop or not. But I agree with you, man. Right off the bat, can you get a rush with four without all the creative blitzes, Kyle? And the second one, can a wide receivers get open? And that's kind of without getting into – you went into detail on it. But, boy, I'll tell you, that's one and two for me after being out at these practices.
Yeah, and I think you can look at every room on the roster, and there's things that are undetermined, and you know, some of those will work out favorably for you, and some of them won't. But I think those are the two right now that I think feel like they have the biggest hand in just how narrow Miami's game script for wins is going to be on any given week, right? You know, there's some might be some games where you come in and you're really successful running the ball, and those wide receivers don't manifest themselves. But on the other side of the coin, if you're playing from a lead, that pass rush, you know, you want to give those guys the best chance to tee off and play with a lead, but we don't know how they'll perform in that regard. And then if you're playing from behind, you really need those receivers to be able to separate. So it really is kind of an interesting dynamic of a whole bunch of unknowns when you go up and down the roster. And I think those two, for me, are the heaviest hand in just exactly how this season is going
to
play out.
Well, to get more specific on the first one about the pass rush, there's been so much talk about Chop Robinson. You heard Coach in the last few days talk about him, did a breakdown. Everybody read into it a little bit differently on what he said. But I think they look at him and they look at their room of pass rushers and they go, all right, Chop, we think you're the guy that's most likely to have the most success. We need you to be able to do a lot of things. What's your take? They're going to use him. They're talking about using him a lot of different ways, out wide, inside, move him around, try to get some mismatches. What's your take on year three for Chop Robinson?
Yeah, you can go back to the tape of Penn State, and you can find reps where he's, you know, mugged up in a two-point stance in the A-gaps and moved him around. And I think part of the challenge for that when you come into the league is you got to prove that you're ready for that. Your team has to play a certain kind of football to put you in positions to get your exotic rush fronts out on the field. And Miami, you know, they had another guy like that up until the trade deadline last year in Jalen Phillips who could do some of those same things. So kind of had some roadblocks, and you know, that none of that's to dismiss. You know, Chop needs to level up his game, and now is the time for that to happen for him, right? So I think it's interesting that he said he's a little heavier. He's pushing 260, hoping to play around 265 when the season's done. Between that and Josh Uche, per Omar Kelly yesterday in the media scrum, said he's checking in around 255. Those guys on the edge a little bit bigger than maybe their past roster listings have had them at. So I think that's a yet another storyline to watch for that group as far as, okay, if these guys are – if they're going to end up playing a little heavier than what we've been exposed and used to in the past, does that help them? Does that hurt them with their juice zone pass rush? Do they sustain their explosiveness while playing at a heavier weight and having some more power? It's just another thing to put on the list. But, yeah, for Chop, it's physical ability has never been the problem. And now is the time, and hopefully working with Austin Clark full-time as the defensive line coach and getting the edge guys under his wing all the time, hopefully that's the key for him to taking that leap.
I think you're probably thinking what I'm thinking. There's going to be a lot of creative blitzes on second and third and long. I'm expecting, and I know what comes with it. You got to cover, you got to get there, and if not, you're still putting a lot of pressure on your secondary. But I think we're going to see him try to get after people. They're going to use a lot of different guys in those blitz packages.
Yeah, I think that's where you look at some of the versatility of the guys that they went after, whether that's Kyle Lewis in the back seven, whether that's Trey Moore on the defensive line is a guy who can play linebacker and also play on the edge. And you know, Jordan Brooks has played some on the edge in some pressure package looks in the past. And the versatility they're talking about with Chop, right? So you go up and down the board, you're going to have a bunch of versatile pieces, but you have to win on first and 10 to be able to get there, right? And that was, especially the first 6 weeks of the season last year, that's what killed the Dolphins' defense so much, is they were living in third and fourth downs and 3 yards or less to go. Well, you can't tee off on those situations. You know, you got to be pretty neutral as far as how you're playing and what personnel you got out there. So that's the big waterfall effect, is you can have that big robust menu, but if you don't execute on first and 10 to win first down, you're not going to see a lot of it. And we saw that last year. So I certainly think if the Halfley defense is going to be the best version of itself that it can be, they will be successful on first and 10. They will stop the run on first and 10. And that will allow them to get those exotics and those confusing looks out on the field and really lean into that versatility.
The group that I like the most, like you do, Paul, Proctor, Brewer, I love it. I think Proctor's going to be really good, man. You know, there's nobody saying anything about Proctor, like, oh, Proctor's struggling out there. He's a big, strong dude between two really good players. And we need Austin Jackson back full-time at right tackle. And I think when he plays, he's fine. Savaya Nye is the one that we haven't heard much about and probably won't till we put the pads on and see him go against some people. But we need him to be good, man. We really do. He needs to, whatever, well, all the snaps he got a year ago, to be a good, solid player at that right guard job.
Yeah, you don't want those snaps to be in vain, right? And that's where, if you're going to play a young guy and you're going to take the lumps and he's going to learn hard lessons, that better mean something the next time you're out there, right? And yeah. And I think that for Jonah is just what I'm looking for, is a little bit more stability, fewer of the fast losses. I think it was Aaron Brewer a couple weeks ago said he's a right guard. He looks like a right guard, something along those lines. And you know, I think that's the best thing that you can hope for with Jonah, is just that the muscle memory and the reflexes and the coordination and the timing of his hands and his feet and how those are married together is better and more crisp when he's on his natural side.
So why didn't they do that a year ago? It just blows my mind that he struggled from day one to the end of the year. I mean, he just did. Why not flip and give somebody else that left side? And
they told us in training camp it's where they felt he was comfortable, and he kind of told us it wasn't. And then I think it was sometime in October, I think it was Frank Smith finally said, yeah, you know, we looked at him and Patrick Paul and wanted to start building chemistry for a left side of your offensive line of the future. Yeah. And it was kind of like for weeks and months and speculation this time of year, and then you get into training camp and you see he's at left guard, and they're like, that's where he feels comfortable, and he's kind of saying something. It was just a really weird saga, and I think at the end of the day, then if you just come out and say, hey, we want Pat and Jonah to play next to each other because we think they can be a really good tandem, if you say that from the outright, it sounds like that was their intent and their process. You'd have got it, but I think that is an example potentially of not putting a guy in the best position to be successful for himself, as far as, and that's why I like what they're doing with Proctor. Yes, he's playing a different position, but they didn't change the side, and Bobby Slowick has come outright and said he's staying on the left side for now because they want to keep him in his natural stance. Yeah. And they have said, we think that's more important than whether you're guard or tackle, is your stance and your coordination and your footwork based on what handed stance you have to play out of.
I wish Coach Slowick would have jumped up and down last year when he was here and felt that same way. Hey, DJ Campbell, I keep hearing his name. Does he have a chance to make a move as a rookie, Texas big offensive guard? What do you think?
I think he's a really physically stout player. I think it depends on what kind of run schemes they end up finding or their bread and butter this year, with how much I think he can hit the ground running, so to speak. I certainly don't think he'll start the season as a starter. I think Jonah, you know, the time on task and the snaps last year and the experience within the terminology versus a day three rookie coming in, I'd certainly be surprised if you ended up getting to an organic decision to play Campbell over Jonah at right guard. But if they end up being more of a inside zone duo gap, like downhill, if they end up leaning more into that as compared to a lot of the outside concepts we've become so accustomed to, I think that plays a little bit more into DJ's strengths right now as a player. But I certainly can see a pathway if he ends up getting pushed into playing time, if he's able to keep his head above water, because I think he has that meaningful reps in the SEC on tape where you could see the speed of the game wasn't too much for him. He's probably always going to be a non-position flexible player. I think he's probably always going to be a guard, and at the end of the day, maybe that didn't help his draft stock, where otherwise maybe he'd have gone a round or two earlier when it was all said and done.
Let's go to the quarterback position. You had some great stuff on Malik Willis, who has had his good throws and his bad throws during this time, and trying to figure out what all his guys can do or not do and who he can count on. It's been a lot of Tolbert and Washington and you know that, and Dulcich obviously in there as well. And the other guy, Quinn Ewers, is I think played really well. He has played really well. Physically, he doesn't have the talent of Malik Willis, and you know, I know there's more to the position than that, and Malik has not run. I've not seen him take off and run once since I've been out here, and we know how good he is at doing that. But I'm just curious, with Malik Willis, these are going to be his receivers. I'm really convinced. I don't think they're going to be adding anything. I think they made up their mind with the guys I just mentioned and Tutu and some other guys, and then try to get some out of this rookie class, get these guys ready to go. And by the way, right now, clearly the best wide receiver of the group is Kevin Coleman, because the other two basically have been hurt. One's out till the second half of the season, most likely. Another one's been banged up for camp. So you think they have enough? You're concerned? Can we see the best of Malik? If these guys, you can't just run the football. We got to get something out of the wide receiver in the slot position.
Yeah, I think it is a legitimate question and concern, and how much those guys step up. And if you got to drop back and throw the football, and you're getting a bunch of man coverage, so either you've got to have a bunch of stack and bunch releases and switch releases and try to manufacture some rubs to get the guys open on the perimeter, or somebody's going to have to prove that they can do that. And I think that's one of the big questions that you're going to get. Now, I do think, you know, Malik and his mobility is probably a man coverage deterrent, because if you play man coverage and turn your back on him and you don't get home, Malik can make you pay with his legs. So if this ends up being the group that they have, some combination of five or six guys out of this group, you're certainly looking for who is the guy that creates the chemistry with Malik that they can really jive from a timing standpoint. And if this is the group, I would expect Devon Achan and Greg Dulcich to both have significantly higher receiving totals than what they did last year.
Hey, man, we're sitting here watching practice, and I say this, the guys I'm seeing catching the football probably going to be catching the football in September. And I'm not trying to bounce ahead all the competition, because there's going to be a lot of guys come back. There's going to be some guys that have really good camps, going to earn some playing time, and maybe even get a starting job. I was going to ask you that, because that question, the competition thing, has popped up a lot. It's an Omar special for years now. That and how much guys weigh. But I want to talk about the competitive side first. I'm not worried about the competition thing right now. Guys are just learning what they're supposed to do. Matter of fact, he rolled it back to go back to the – and not put too much in, to go back and let's go over the stuff we've already put in for a few practices, because he wants guys to know so they can play fast. What's your take on reading into competition, especially in the off season?
Yeah, well, I mean, you said it yourself with a new coaching staff and a bunch of new players. Right now we're learning concepts, and you're trying to judge on process more than result right now anyway. And then if you start mixing and matching, this guy was on second team in May, and now we're going to elevate him for competition. Like, it's just another variable that makes it harder for you to measure the progress of how the guys are grasping the timing of the concepts. So, for me, if we're seeing pretty static, quote-unquote, first team, second team, third team in July in the first week in August, then, yeah, I think we should ask some questions about how know, how much competition is taking place versus how much of this is static, but I can totally see why at this point in the calendar, if they're not interchanging guys on this team or that team, it might just be as simple as, hey, these are the group of guys that tried to run it last time. Let's have them do it again and see how they do with it and how they execute it. And see if you could see and feel the growth in the execution of the concept instead of adding that additional variable of change while you're going through installs.
Gordon and Wright is a good one. Is a good one and fair. Achan's been out, so it's been a lot of Gordon and Wright. Each guy's had their moment. Gordon ended up being a really good short yardage runner last year. What's your take on how that thing's going to end up and who will be the number two back? Or do you see him rotating, getting about the same amount of touches?
I'd like to see kind of a steady flow of touches. I think Jalen, if I had to project their skill sets right now, I would say Ollie probably feels like more of the pass protector, third down, short yardage, low red zone type of back. And Jalen feels like more of the true backup to Devon Achan on some of the first and 10 stuff. And if you want to run your outside concepts, Jalen's a little bit more explosive. So that's kind of how I see their skill sets. And the big question for both of those guys is who has taken this offseason to expand the menu of things that they're really confident and comfortable in doing? Because if that happens, you might see some separation between those guys, and it's just a matter of who goes out and executes over the course of the next 3 months before the season starts.
So kind of just to get in your podcast, how quickly can the Dolphins team develop to be good enough to win games, stay competitive, and which part of this team will blossom, which individuals will end up being frontline guys going forward that you can trust? Is that where you are?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the biggest question, because they do have significant amount of young talent, obviously, between this year's draft class and last year's draft class. I mean, they didn't draft as high as often as they did this year, but you can go through the rundown of the 25 class and Grant and Savaianaya and Jordan Phillips and Dante Trader and Jason Marshall, and we talked about Ollie Gordon and Quinn. Like, that's a whole group of guys that starting jobs are right there for a lot of those guys for the taking.
They're looking like starters right now, some of those names you just mentioned. Yeah, Trader, Marshall. I know some guys are banged up and not able to practice. It might be pushing that when camp starts, but you're right. That's a group. It's going to be fun to watch. Hey, Kyle, thank you. I really enjoyed it yesterday, getting a chance to see your stuff this morning. Thank you.
Hey, thank you, Joe. And real quick, I want to give a shout-out to, I know he's a friend of yours, Dave Hyde. Want to just give him a little bit of love for kind of his run with the Sun Sentinel and give him a shout-out here with the news yesterday that he's getting laid off from the Sun Sentinel, and very appreciative for all the work that Dave's done in the market for a really long time. So just wanted to acknowledge Dave here on today.
Kyle, thank you, man. I know he appreciates it, and he's probably listening right now. I didn't realize. Thank you very much, Kyle. Thanks for coming on, bud, as always.
Of course, Joe.
Hey, so Woody, is that out? Officially out on everything?
Yes. Yeah, he sent out a message on Twitter.
I mean, I talked to him long time last night. I never thought to. Yeah, man, he's.
Yeah, I talked to him as well. That's tough, but what an amazing run!
36 years, man.
Yeah,
books. What he's met down here. And he's just a class act, man. He is just
one of the nicest guys I've ever met doing this.
So good, man. So good, and so good at what he was able to do. I thought he was more than fair with his articles and stuff. So anyway, we're going to have him on. He's going to be coming on during the summer with us and doing some stuff. But, yeah, Dave Hyde, the columnist of the Sun Sentinel, has moved on. No, he's not dead. I'm just it's just weird to see he got laid off. Like, of all the guys you lay off Dave Hyde? I mean, I know it's tough out there right now. Hey. All right, Woody, thank you so much. And the Dolphins about ready to get to that offseason. 3 days of OTAs. Omar Kelly, Miami Herald Dolphins columnist. And Omar, I'm going to start with, I love your article. I read it this morning. I don't know when you came out with it, but it was great. Very good. Excellent. One of my I enjoyed it.
Player development?
The development. And you did a breakdown with everything from CHOP to development of young guys and learning the system and tied it in with the head coach. It was good. So it's going to be about development. You're right. It's going to be, you know, wins and losses, obviously, on Sunday. But it's going to be about, we're going to find out who can play and who can't.
Here's the thing. If we get more players develop and take the next step and can say we're a proven NFL star, he's a proven NFL starter and can start for 16 other NFL teams. If we get more of those players than wins, I'm good with that season. Yeah. You know, five players like that, whether it be a Zeke Biggers or a Juju Brents or, you know, whether it's a Tutu Atwell, Jalen Tolbert, I really, you know, Malik Willis, if we get five players where we say, hey, this is a real legitimate NFL starter, then it's been a good season.
Yeah, I think we're curious. I said before and to start this morning, besides this draft they just had, the one before that they had nothing to do with, and see the development of some of those guys. Hey, for you, a couple of breakouts, and we'll get in the quarterback situation from your article before that, but just in general, a couple of breakout players through the mini camps and OTAs for you that have stood out, considering they're new to the system and there's no pads on.
Yeah, let's start with no pads. So it's very hard to evaluate the offensive and defensive linemen. But physically, Jordan Phillips and Zeke Biggers, they just look different. They've redefined their bodies. Zeke Biggers looks like a defensive end now. I put up on Twitter a comparison photo of where he was when he came in as a rookie to where he is now. And you could clearly see he shed about 30 pounds. You know, Jordan Phillips looks like a big hulking, just thick, a thick, strong player. You got the Dante Trader Jr. It's clear that he's taken another step forward. Whether he's an NFL starter or not, we don't know. And then you got Juju Brents, who we saw Juju for two games last year, and it was about the best cornerback play that we can get south of Rasul Douglas. And I'm curious to see if that can translate to 16, 17 games. I actually like the tight end unit. I know that's your area of specialties.
I think it's a good group. I do.
I thought it was the best group on the team. Obviously, they didn't have pads on, so we don't know who could do the inline work and who can't do the inline work. But there's something special about that group. And I'm not sure I would add a Jonnu Smith to that unit, because I think that there are about three guys on that unit that could play.
You know, Ben Sims is the one that surprised me of that group.
Absolutely.
I was like, Ben Sims is smooth, and he's been around the league now and they know him very well. But what a nice little story that's been. All right. So I got to ask you about the article before that. And, you know, people call me. Huer's nice offseason isn't competing to be the Dolphins' starting quarterback, but maybe he should.
Yeah.
You couldn't help yourself.
You couldn't
get out of OTAs and minicamp. And by the way, he is really, and I've said this, and yes, he's been really good in camp.
He's been really good. Mm-hmm. The one issue that I have, I've been covering this team since 2007, and it's universal across the board. It doesn't matter who's the top executive, who's the head coach. The one thing this franchise has feared and run from and absolutely can't just terrified of is quarterback competition. And I think quarterback competition is healthy. If Malik Willis is a clear-cut starter and worthy of $45 million, if you give him the same weaponry and same offensive line as Quinn Ewers, it should look better, correct? And that's why I'm not saying that we carry this on 2 weeks. I just would like to see each of them with the same unit so I can compare it apples to apples. That's not happening. They said it would happen. It's not happening. I'm not surprised it's not happening. But Quinn has a faster processing time. It's like a computer with I'm not a computer genius, but it's like a more
he reads things quicker and knows where to go with the ball.
Absolutely. And this isn't because he's been in this offense or because he's got more familiarity. We saw that last year. He's just taking it another step forward. And if I had to tell you what an area of concern I do have from Malik Willis is the processing is a little slow. Now, can I sit here and say that that's because of the weaponry? I probably can say that's because of the weaponry he's working with. But I would like to be able to see it on equal playing field, apples to apples.
So, but you knew when they came in here and they signed Malik and they've seen him up close. They obviously looked at Quinn Ewers' last three games. They're aware of it.
Yeah. It wasn't good.
They made a decision right there. Like, Quinn, come in, you know, compete like you're a starter. Get yourself ready to go. But it's pretty obvious. And I know they're not going to come out because they want everybody to compete. And that's always the story. But it's
– Yeah, listen, that's bull crap.
But you can look right now at the team. I can look at who's lining up. I said this Friday, 65-70%. I know who's going to start short of being in.
There's no competition going on. They say there's competition, but I don't see any competition.
Let me ask you a question. Outside of starting five, would you make any – with Austin Jackson comes back at right tackle – you got a pretty good idea who the starting five is going to be, unless the Vianaya is just awful.
I think DJ Campbell should get an equal opportunity to play right guard, just like Savainaya. And
so I think he will during camp, though.
Okay, then let's do that. I'm going to be.
But you're working off like a few days of OTAs and mini camps and getting on them about.
They've had now probably at the end of this week they'll probably have 15 total practices on the field. Okay, why don't I see any depth chart changes? Why don't I see any guys? You know, I do see there's a couple, like Ben Sims. He's clearly doing something. Then you got there's a competition at safety between Zane Anderson and the Lonnie Johnson Jr. That, you know, wide receiver based on injuries, some of those guys are moving, but that's injury related. Why, you know, Ollie Gordon and Jalen Wright, come on, man, please. Like, Ollie Gordon is way better than Jalen Wright. Why does he take snaps?
But then again, I wouldn't read into that too much either. Once they get,
why not?
Because once those guys are going to shine when they get out in preseason in these practices, because they're going to play most of it, and then we'll get a good feel for like who can run.
Why not dangle the carrot, though, Joe? Why not dangle the carrot? Hey, you want this job? It's here. That's what we talk about with all these minimum salary contracts and all these draft picks. We're saying, oh, come here. There's an open opportunity to come get a job. There are no competitions going on right now. None. Zero. Very, very, very few in terms of guys who legitimately have a chance to unseat somebody. If you give – that's the one thing – I'm not a big Flores fan, but the one thing I really enjoyed about Flores, especially his first season, is if you practiced well, no matter who you were, that's how we discovered Nick Needham. You practiced well, you got called up. You practiced well yesterday, you got called up today, back in 2019. That's when we were in training camp and this undrafted rookie kept starting over veteran players. And we're like, huh? Why is that? And, yeah, he didn't make the 53-man roster, and he initially began on the practice squad. But you could tell the Dolphins saw that there was something there.
Again, you're jumping on this whole process way too early, man, of guys out there learning and cutting back. Why do we have camp? We have camp for six friggin' weeks, man. Patience, my friend, patience.
No, we've been doing this for 15 days. Why don't I get a teaser? Why is everybody locked into where they are? Why?
I don't think that's the case. Kevin Coleman's making a move, man. Kevin Coleman keeps playing away.
Malik Willis has to work on the outside because of injuries. That's why Kevin Coleman's making a move. And he's impressing, and he's doing well. I'm not surprised. I wrote a column saying he was going to be the rookie receiver that contributes the most. He's talented, and he can contribute. And I'd love to see him have a open competition for that slot spot with Malik Washington, but you know that's not the reality of what's going to happen.
I just think the veterans groups, somebody's got to line up with the first group, somebody's going to line up, and then you work the young guys in. It's always been like that that's just the way it is. And by the way, it's the same way at the young high draft picks. They jump ahead and our top two, like our two number ones are going to start.
Yeah.
They're going to start.
That's fine. And I don't have a problem with that. But, I, you know, I want to see competition, Joe. Don't talk about it if you're not going to be about it. And I did not see that during OTAs.
You talked
about it.
But getting this thing, like they pretty much told you too, once this running game gets in and the things that Malik Willis can do is going to be a big part of it and Quinn Ewers can't do. So
I just
hold off. Listen, man, I'm glad to see, and it sounds like I'm blasting Quinn Ewers is throwing the ball nicely.
Mm-hmm.
But physically, the other guy.
Absolutely superior. No question. Not even.
And listen, man, if he's bad and it looks bad and he ain't picking things up, I don't think they're going to be afraid to make a switch.
Okay.
I'm not saying right away, but.
And I don't disagree with you. However, why should I not?
You want to see an OTAs and mini camps. You want to see guys getting shifted in and out because they have a bad day because they don't know what they're doing.
Yep. Absolutely. And I want guys to feel the pressure.
Oh, forward learners. Hey, you ain't going to be in here right now. Okay.
Listen, everybody's got to earn their keep. Everybody's got to produce in order to stay where they are. Or if you like right now, you got to be able to dangle the carrot. Give a young player that's progressing and showing you promise some incentive, and not because of injury. Yeah, but Ollie Gordon, you telling me he doesn't deserve to work with the starters for a day?
By the way, if there is one example, I'm with you.
Thank you
on that one. No. I agree. Ollie did some really good things, man. When he got some playing time last year, he did some nice things. I'm with you. He's more than just get me 2 yards, which we turned him into last year, right? The short yardage goal line guy, and I like to see more of him. And I get that. The other guy's got an extra gear and all that stuff. So
yeah, but he doesn't have vision.
So no, he doesn't have the natural instincts that I'm not disagreeing. I got you. Yeah, and you're right. You're right on some of this stuff. But I think coming into this season, they had a pretty good. Everybody in the other 31 NFL cities knows exactly what you have and don't have, right? They got a pretty good idea. When they got here, they didn't just line guys up off the like, yeah, let's go. They had some guys they liked from what they saw on film. And
absolutely. And that's why that makes sense in a lot of cases, like the Juju Brents and the Dante Traders. But there are other instances where there should be opportunity where a guy performs well and a guy should get tested to see if he's ready to handle the next level. Yeah. And I'm not talking about when injuries happen. And, you know, that's cool and great to say that you're going to be about competition, but it needs to be backed up with actions too. And that's the one thing.
Yeah.
There's one disappointment that I've seen from Jeff Hafley's first couple of months. That's it. Because there's no competitions.
I don't think he's looking competition right now. I don't think for him it started. I think it's preparing guys right now with learn. Part of your job's going right now because I had Jimmy Johnson came on and said number one for him is dummies. Dummies will kill you. Dummies that can't learn and they don't know now. And you come back and they're going, they don't know. No matter how talented they are, you can never trust them. So I just think that stuff, and I'm not reading into who's running with the twos and who's running with the ones. And when a guy that plays well in the twos, you guys write about him. I talk about him same way, like, hey, excuse me, Kevin Coleman, man.
Absolutely.
Oh, 83 in those smooth looking shoes, man. He looks smooth going across the middle. He looks fast. All those things. I'm with you on that. But anyway, yeah, man. So what do you want to see next three for OTAs before they break?
I just want to see the offense took a step forward in mini camp. They had two impressive days. The turnover stopped. I would love to see that just continue. Just not to say that the defense is not where it needs to be, but I would love to see that the offense is developing chemistry. And you could tell Malik Willis is developing some chemistry with Jalen Tolbert and Malik Washington. I would just love to see that volume turned up a little bit more.
Omar, thank you, man. Appreciate you coming on. You guys allowed to go out to every practice this week?
No, just Tuesday. Tuesdays are one piece, sneak peek.
All right. Thank you, Omar. Appreciate you coming on. Omar Kelly, Miami Herald Dolphins columnist. You got to read the article. Really, really good stuff yesterday. And I read this morning, it was really, really good stuff with the Miami Herald. Hey, we got to go to break here. We got a lot more stuff to get to here. I have learned, but I've known this for a long time, and I've lived it, how beaten up the Dolphin fan base is. Right? They want to know, and they should know, like, okay, how much longer am I going to wait? I must get it all the time. Like, Joe, how good are we?
Well, this Knicks thing is a good example of how hungry a fan base can get, right? When things start going well, I mean, look how desperate people are for tickets to see this thing. Because that hasn't happened in 50 years.
Yeah. No.
If the Dolphins made a playoff run of some kind.
Yeah.
I mean, could you imagine?
The problem is because of this long drought and some of it just dysfunction. A lot of it has been just, I'm not even going to sit and blame players. I'm going to blame everything else about it, everything over at that training facility. And so our fan base is somewhat beaten up. So anything they do, even with two guys who have come in and, I mean, we cleaned out, you know how you go in there and you clean we did a while back. We got rid of all the old clothes and all that stuff. And
they're not somewhat beaten up. They are very beaten up.
So they're like, how long? How long am I looking? I go, well, you know, it's going to be. They're like, no. This is crazy. Like, we're seeing other people get a figure. I go, I know. And so now people, you're like, hey, these guys, boy, they're walking and talking differently, man. Like, they got this thing. They got a good game plan. Well, how long is the game plan going to take? And then, you know, our guys write or say something. And then they're like, well, why are we doing that? That's crazy. So a lot of what you guys are working off of right now is OTAs in mini camps. But I get it. No matter what anybody says, and I know this year if things go and they get blown out in some games, I know what you're going to be thinking, the same thing as everybody else. Like, well, this is terrible. This is, thought we're getting better. That's not better. So, and you ask everybody to be patient and take patience pills, and nobody, your fan base doesn't want to do that. Like, no, we don't want to do that. We just want to be fans of this team. And then they bring up the 72 team. Sometimes they bring up the teams in the 80s that went to the Super Bowl, didn't win anything, but won a lot of games. And it's been a drought. It has been. And I get nobody gets the benefit of the doubt for a lot of fans. Not all fans. I don't put everybody in the same category, but a lot of fans that find this show are just not believing. And so we'll see. Man, that's all I have for you. I'm just glad we cleaned house because that wasn't working. That wasn't going to work. Was the rules, regulations, people making decisions wasn't going to work. And then even during the season, we started when we were over in Madrid, we find out they got rid of some people who've been here 25 years. And I was like, wow, I didn't know we had anybody that'd been here 25 years. How could somebody be here 25 years? We've been bad for 25 years. Nobody should be left that's been here for 25 years. No one. So they got rid of a lot of people to do it their way and not the way that it's been done around here. Or so anyway, that's all they can do right now. And we got all that dead money, and there's no way around that. We made some bad financial choices on contracts. We did. We made them across the board. Wasn't just one guy. A lot of it was a quarterback. And I'm sure when this thing was getting ready to go down, everybody was running to the principal's office say, wasn't me. What's that song? Wasn't me. Wasn't me. Wasn't me. So anyway, they got rid of most everything. Not everything, but most everything is new. So that's all I got, Wood. I mean, I see it coming in, and like So we'll see. I will tell you, read Omar's article today, though. That's in a nutshell what it's about. That's his best article for me that really wraps up about everything with this team is what they're doing right now. That is the plan. Player development quickly and coach these guys up and see what you have.
That's exciting, right? Like to me, there's a lot of excitement heading into the season. I know it might not be the best team, but at least there's something to look forward to, right? You find out how these guys draft, how they develop,
find
how they
out
coach.
A lot. Yeah, no, the whole thing. They're young guys, a lot of young guys. We got three groups of guys. We've got a huge rookie class. We've got our second year class that we're counting on. Three or four guys already have been mentioned a lot this offseason. And then we got the guys that we got in free agency who most of them all had something in common. Didn't play as much, have had some success in the league, but at 26, 27, 28 years old, are trying to get their careers going again and show the league that they can play or start, or a combination of both, get in the rotation. And they're kind of on show-me contracts. 1 year, real cheap, to show the Dolphins and the rest of the league that you can still play with everything else going on. So that you're not a backup, that you're a starter. We got that group in there as well with the free agents. So those are that's what you have. And coach them up, find out what the coaching looks like, discipline's like, and hopefully drama-free on top of everything. I think we'll be drama-free. We don't have – I can't imagine. Yeah.
Something will happen, but you just hope that it's not like something outrageous like that's happened seemingly every year here.
You know what I'd like to be the worst thing that happens this year? Is Coach Halfley stand up there and say, we had a guy late today and it won't be tolerated or something like that. You got that problem. You're all right if that, because guys are going to be late occasionally. Things are going to happen.
Oh, now it's okay?
No, it's not okay. We're talking about
you're
a guy.
You're softening up? Maybe did someone work on you over the weekend?
No, but
trying
guys,
to get you to lighten up on the whole late thing?
No, guys have been abusive. Guys have taken that late thing, in case you didn't notice that when they left that year. And Mike thought it was a great idea to let
I know it was a problem with Mike. I'm not trying to get y'all riled up here.
That it was a serious problem, that's all.
Well, now Mike doesn't have to worry about that. It's not a problem anymore.
Hey, listen, man. Mike's in a great situation. But I got to tell you, and he is, because all he's got to do, he can be one of the guys. He's the offensive coordinator. He's got Justin Herbert as his quarterback. He's going to put in a great running game. He's going to come up with some creative stuff. He's got a really good offensive line that's healthy with those two tackles coming, offensive tackles, high first-round picks. And he's going to get another chance to interview for a job. But I got to tell you, if he goes back into that, we're teammates. And
I wonder if Mike wants another head coach.
Oh, yeah,
job.
He does. Oh,
I don't know, man.
No, 100% wants it. Oh, my God. He handpicked this job.
He's going to probably have that thing rolling.
Okay.
In L.A., I'm guessing.
And he's going to get a chance to interview again.
I like this text that came in here. Joey's always make me laugh. If they hadn't wasted money on Willis, we would have had money for other players. Willis was their first move, and he's a bust. They should have known that. They made a huge mistake.
Yeah, well, thank you there. Yeah. Appreciate that. Glad you know so much more than our head coach.
Maybe he's been out there watching minicamp.
Maybe he was up there in Green Bay with them the last 2 years. True. That guy could have been a fan that was there every day and goes, I don't see what they see in him. Maybe he was. Because he couldn't just be working off what our writers are saying about him. It couldn't be that, could it? He wouldn't be that guy.
Well, I don't think anyone's seen much of him, even the writers.
I see him out there throwing.
Yeah, throwing, but, I mean, gotta at least wait till you get to camp.
Would he?
I would wait till we get to the games to really make my judgment
people,
on the guy. But
we have already we and our football fan base has already made decisions in some cases on Malik Willis and Quinn Ewers, both ways.
I haven't met anyone that wants Quinn Ewers to start, but maybe if the other guy wasn't here, then that would have been an option. But I don't
remember the Skylar Thompson thing. For a short memory?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God.
He
should
really
be
good
our starter.
Preseason.
One of the greatest preseason shows we've ever had, Skylar Thompson. Mm-hmm.
I also think there's probably a lot of Tua holdover fans down here that are angry still.
Why?
I don't know, man. They like him for some reason. I don't know.
They like when he forgets to throw the ball in the end zone?
You're not supposed to do that anymore because then they'll get mad at you. We have this, there's like an account that's got, you know, Tua as its thing. Like, I don't know if it's like his burner or something, but all these people do is tweet about Tua.
But
they love him.
That's fine.
He's very lovable, Joe. Apparently.
Lovable guy.
He's a part-time football player.
Part-time football player, have time for you. If he's part-time football player, have time for you guys. Come down and join the club.
I can't wait. I hope he wins the starting job because that way we get at least one time a week. We get to hear his antics. Twice a week. I'm sorry. You get the midweek press conference and then the postgame. So you get to hear his thoughts, whatever's rattling around in there twice.
The first time he throws three touchdown passes and 300 yards and they win.
That'll sting. Yep.
I can't wish him the best. I just can't. I can't do it.
Guy says, not if, but when Tua wins the Super Bowl with Atlanta, Hollywood owes everyone the biggest apology. I'll be first in line, sir. Tua wins the Super Bowl.
Is that what that guy's got?
Yeah, he's got Tua winning a Super Bowl. If Tua wins a playoff game,
by the way,
I would be beyond stunned.
You got to love being a fan right there.
Yeah.
You know, he's not even talking about Tua starting and having a little success. He's talking about taking him right ahead of the Rams and Seattle and everybody else.
Whatever.
That's where we live.
Hey, maybe it'll happen, man. Crazier things will happen. You know, it's like the Sam Darnold thing.
Hey.
I don't want to hear that they have nothing in common.
Let's do this. Let's just talk about Tua. He was smart enough. I'll tell you what, he's not as dumb as I thought he was because he went indoor. That was smart. And he went to the most talented offense you could go to. He's got a good offensive line. He's got good players around him. He's got a back that doesn't run as fast, but a guy that's really productive in that running back position.
I don't see the Falcons as the number one seed, so they're probably going to have to go on the road in the playoffs. And everywhere is cold in the playoffs.
We're just talking about all those indoor games he gets to play in by.
I know. I'm talking about this, his Super Bowl run here.
Well, you got all those indoor games, and then you have Tampa Bay to come down here. And by the way, how great is that for Tua fans? They can go to Tampa, up to Tampa Bay, drive it up there to see them.
Atlanta's close, too.
Yeah,
a lot of flights into Atlanta, aren't they? A hub?
Yeah, everything.
A hub?
Everything you can go to.
Delta? I think Delta's
got their...
Good
old Delta,
man. Yeah. There you go.
Anyway, yeah. I'll tell you what, this topic, I could have just skipped everything except the Knicks, maybe. And San Antonio, and just done the whole thing with, I got to tell you, our boy Omar's onto something. Malik Willis and Quinn Ewers, get ready for it. We'll do it every day. Just do it every day. Wasted money. Wasted money on Malik Willis. Those guys just took him just to piss us off. All right. It's crazy out there. Hey, Woody, we had something really cool this morning. And we had Jimmy Johnson on early this morning. He's going to the Knicks game, and he joined us to talk about a lot of things, including a lot of stuff with the Miami Dolphins, and we're going to have that for you coming up here in just a few minutes. So stay with us for that. And we got a lot more coming up tomorrow morning. We're going to jump into some college football as well. We'll have a lot follow up with the Knicks and everything else. But we're going to have Jimmy join us next. When you get into sports and you're going out, people want to know. People like, hey, where's that game, you know, ranked for? Do you think we can close it out? Or, hey, the Dolphin stuff never stops, man. When no matter where you go, like, hey, what do you think of this guy or that guy? I saw this guy, man. He looks like he's going to be a good player. Hey, do we got the right guys? I've been getting a lot of that. Do we got the right guys?
At least the Dolphins questions are better now. Like, you know, he asked about Tua.
Can you imagine we ran it back with the same guys?
Oh, yes, I can. So
you might as well just tell your fan. If you would have run it back, you might as well have told your fan base, hey, we're trying to run you out of here. We're trying. Just find a new team.
Yeah.
It'd have been bad. So.
I think some of them did find a new team. I think a lot of them went to Atlanta.
He's going to get some fans to go with him. Yeah.
Try the traveling fans.
I don't know how many, but there'll be fans.
There's been a few. There's been a few angry ones that have reached out to us.
Yeah, and they'll be hitting running on us every time he plays well. They'll make it a point. Their whole life will go on that 1 o'clock Falcons game. They'll be like, I'm going to get up early in the morning and let him know what I think of him. Did he see Tua throw the ball indoors?
I don't want to like root for people, like actively root for people to fail. But we are going to need him to fail, because if he plays well or something, I don't want to deal with that. Woody, I don't need that in my life.
Woody, I understand that, but can I just say this?
Yes.
I moved on.
No, you didn't.
No. I meant I moved on from him being my quarterback. You didn't let me finish. I don't care what he does.
I don't believe you, but
I don't want him to be the quarterback here.
This is like the therapy session where they tell you, like, no, I don't think you've moved on. You're a little traumatized by this thing here. But
I get when I'm done.
He had those comments the other day and you went nuts.
I don't care what he says.
He's
going to
talk
on.
And he's going to. No. He's going to speak during training camp.
That was Kyle Kraft's fault, because he sends you, make sure Joe gets it.
Kyle's a good man. I really appreciate him sending that to me.
Hey, he's going to have some good games.
No, he's not.
He will have some good games. Hell, he had a great game against them last year. That's why they took him. You go back, do you see his numbers against the Falcons?
I know.
He threw four touchdowns. But I also seen him. I saw enough last year. Now, maybe something was wrong with him, and we're going to find out halfway through the year, like, oh, I had a shoulder problem or something. Or it was Mike's fault. He didn't let me throw the ball enough. I don't know. Whatever you can say. It's fine. Hey, man, we got.
I don't imagine he will have any success there. I do believe.
Success.
I don't think that will happen, but I do think Mike.
Mean?
I think Mike will have success.
Do you think Tua is just? I think he's gonna have some good games.
I don't think he's capable of it.
Of having some good games?
No, I really don't.
He had some good games last year.
The way that he played last year, man, it got ugly.
Okay. All right,
well. I just think he's going to fail there, but I do think, you know, of our former people, I think Mike has a chance to have a monster season.
Mike handpicked where he was going.
Yeah.
And
that team could end up being really good.
Mike's not a dummy.
No.
Mike,
that he is not.
Mike got Harbaugh to say, from what I understand, you run the offense the way you want. And Harbaugh's a former quarterback. Like he's an offensive guy.
Yeah. They brought Gason too.
Brock Gase in. That, by the way, that's a little strange. Two guys didn't live far away from each other in East Fort Lauderdale.
They're going to collaborate, yeah.
That's an interesting one. I got to tell you, you want to talk about weird one?
You picture those two like sitting next to each other.
Knowing both guys and having them now.
Different personalities.
And by the way, Mike must have signed off on it. Mike McDaniel said, hey, to do some things. I think Mike didn't take a lot of his coaches with him, did he? As far as I know, some had to stay here. They're under contract. Yeah. But he took his offensive line coach with him. Butch Berry did go with him. But he's got full say in that thing. And I agree with you. I'm not going to be surprised to see them have a top five offense at all. No, I think they're going to be good. And he looked and. By the way, he wants to be a head coach again, for sure. Nobody wants to fail and then go, well, I don't want to do that again. Let me be an offensive coordinator the rest of my life. So he's going
to... He just doesn't have the personality to be a head coach, I don't think. Like, he's going to have to change a lot of stuff.
I agree.
Either that or just be on a really good team and be a front runner. But because things when things are going well down here, remember, he was the most popular guy in the NFL.
I understand his concept. I understand when he got here... He calls his coaching staff in. These are all the stories I've heard. And he said, hey, I want you yelling at guys. I want positive reinforcement with everything. Teach them. We're all in this together. They're going to have a big say. And I just don't. I don't know. And again, I'm older now. I think the coach has to be the leader. Like Coach Halfley said, they go, who's the leader of the team right now? And he goes, well, right now it's me. We got some leaders on the team. And by the way, by the end of this camp, he was talking about the guys that we already knew about. He had leaders on this team. That's why when you're asking these questions, he's got the best leaders from last year are still here. The best leaders, not the fraudulent leaders, the best leaders, by the way they played and were with the rest of the team, are all back. Your center, your linebacker, and your defensive tackle. Those were your best leaders a year ago. And they're back.
Yeah. It's just crazy how the whole thing, how quickly it fell apart, too. How quickly he went from being on that Jeff Darlington story on, you know, the pregame there. And remember, they loved him, man. Everyone loved his act. The watch and the shoes and the pants and all that stuff. You go, he's the coolest thing going in the NFL. And then it fell apart. And
I don't believe.
Fell apart quick, man.
Woody, I don't believe you can be one of the guys. That's it. A matter of fact, that goes for every coach I've ever had.
Yeah.
Even my high school coach who lived, you know, your high school coach had four blocks from where I lived. And by the way, in a small town. And I knew he would chew at like he was. I'd see him. You know, you see guys in a small town. That's my head coach over there. But I knew he was in charge. I knew Mike White was in charge. Did I? He was a psycho, too.
What do you think, Dan Campbell? You've been around Dan Campbell.
He
seems like he's one of the guys.
What?
To an extent.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
He got the big personality. What do you think Dan Campbell's going to handle? You think you ever hear about any of his guys being late and then going, what are you going to do about it? Hell, he might fight him.
Yeah.
And you just can't say, I've only heard it one time. With all these coaches, and we've had a zillion coaches come through here, I've never heard a head coach ever in my life at any level say we're all teammates. Now, if you've heard that, please text me and let me know. I have never heard that. And I was like, ooh, that's a new one. We're all teammates. I'll give you another one I've never seen. I've never seen a coach kiss a guy coming off the field like he kissed Tua. You seen that before?
No.
Okay.
It's unusual. Hey, man, when it was going well, it was the best thing. It was awesome.
No, you get away with everything.
And
you
start losing, the act goes
away
real
quick.
Yep.
Magic Miami Mike. Yeah. No, it was great, man. It was great.
His press conferences were funny then, remember? They go, oh, he's so different. He's funny. Love this guy. You start losing. He says too much. Which he did say almost.
By the way, everybody predicted this. Everybody predicted exactly what you just said. Let's see what happens when he hits some hard times. And he had a lot of guys that were his guys turned on him, including his quarterback in the last three games.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently got very salty. Very salty. Apparently didn't look in the mirror very well the way he was playing. Apparently he was the only one that thought he was fine. When he's sitting there as one of the leaders in that leadership group of half the friggin' team upstairs. All right. Hey, man, we got to go to break here. What do you get now?
You're not still salty. Okay.
I'm not salty.
He's going to speak in 2 months or whatever, training camp starts. And he's going to say some wild crap. And we're going to play it.
Because, well,
I mean, we're still going to follow the guy.
By the way, he's not going to change. Yeah,
I realize that. Says. No, I realize that after his most recent press conference that he's not going to change.
He's not going
to change.
I hope
he wins a starting job so he has to speak.
He is. He's going to be a part-time starting quarterback. All right, hey, we got to go to break here, Woody. Now you're just trying. You're working really hard to get me going here this morning. You're good, man, because it doesn't take much to get me going. You're really good here on a Friday. We've got Ira Winderman going to join us, talk a little bit about Giannis, and boy, it's coming down. Well, the draft's coming up here, Woody. Jeez, what, the 23rd of June, 23rd, 24th, first and second round.